Some Sadducees, those who deny that there is a resurrection, came forward and put this question to Jesus, saying, "Teacher, Moses wrote for us, if someone's brother dies leaving a wife but no child, his brother must take his wife and raise up descendants for his brother. Now there were seven brothers. The first married a woman but died childless. Then the second and the third married her, and likewise all seven died childless. Finally, the woman also died. Now at the resurrection, whose wife will that woman be? For all seven had been married to her." Jesus said to them, "The children of this age marry and remarry, but those who are deemed worthy to attain to the coming age and to the resurrection of the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage. They can no longer die, for they are like angels, and they are the children of God, because they are the ones who will rise. That the dead will rise, even Moses made known in the passage about the bush when he called out, 'Lord, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob,' and he is not God of the dead, but of the living. For to him, all are alive."
I sure wouldn't want to marry her. We'll just be calling her the Black Widow. Anyway, we continue in today's Gospel of Luke. Mindful, last week Jesus was going through Jericho. Remember Jericho? Sin City. Nobody wants to go there. He went there and he met the little man, and Jesus said to him, "I want to come and live under your roof, stay under your roof." And we talked about that that really wasn't about a physical house or roof, but basically go with him. Now, needless to say, we're coming toward the end of Luke's gospel, and we're getting on our way to Jerusalem. And so things are starting to mount against Jesus and why he is about to be killed. And so last week, that kind of ticked more people off, that he was going to go stay with the tax collector, who was also a rich tax collector, if you remember. And so people are starting to get annoyed. Well, after that story, we hear that Jesus does enter, finishes with Jericho. He does enter Jerusalem. He enters into the holy city where the Paschal mystery takes place. And we're all mindful that the Paschal mystery is the... See, Brenda, you got to come here all year round, Brenda. It's the suffering, death, and resurrection of Jesus. We need to know that word, Paschal mystery, right? Perla, you know that because you went to school here. So, Paschal mystery. Okay, and so tensions continue to mount. And as he gets to Jerusalem, he has this discussion with the Pharisees about money. It's always not good to discuss money. So he has the discussion with the Pharisees about money, and we hear to give to God what is God's and give to Caesar's what is Caesar's. And again, we're mounting some hostility in Luke's gospel against Jesus. Today, the hostility continues to mount because he encounters the Sadducees. Now, we all know who the Sadducees are, don't we? No. How long have you been coming to church, John? Okay. So we usually lump together the Pharisees and the Sadducees, right? Usually you put them two together. But they are as different can be, okay? So Pharisees are these religious people who kind of like are very nationalistic as well. They're kind of like really red states, just saying. Okay. And so those are the Pharisees. The Sadducees are more like the blue states, but these are both extreme groups of religious people. Now, the Sadducees, although they are Jewish, they do not believe in the entire Hebrew scriptures. They only accept the first five books called the Torah. Very good. Or in Greek, it's called the Good job, see? Pentateuch. So they only believe in those first five books of the Bible, which is rather different than the Pharisees. The Sadducees, henceforth, do not believe in angels. They do not believe in when you die that you go anywhere. When you're dead, you're dead. And so Sadducees have a very different belief system than the Pharisees. However, they are just as staunch in their beliefs as the Pharisees are staunch in their beliefs. And so we have this representation of not only are the Pharisees not liking Jesus, but the Sadducees don't like Jesus. So when the red doesn't like Jesus and the blue doesn't like Jesus, ain't nobody left is gonna like Jesus. So we're mounting the hostility toward Jesus. And so we hear now the Sadducees encounter Jesus. And because they do not believe in the afterlife, you've been away for a while. You're back. Glad you're back. Rita, right? See? Rita. All right. Good memory. Okay. So they want to, like, trip Jesus up. So since they don't believe in afterlife, they represent this whole scenario of this woman who's married and remarried and remarried and remarried because she knocks off all her husbands. Anyway, so she gets... I was going to, but I better not. Okay, it's all good. Got to learn to. Okay, so she gets rid of all these husbands, and see, in Jewish law, she was supposed to marry the brother of the brother of the brother in order to pass on the heritage to the male child. Worst case scenario, to a girl child. However, she didn't have any children. So when they say, Mr. Smarty Pants Jesus, when she dies, who is she married to? Which one of the seven? Now, it's just really kind of a sarcastic scenario because I think, you know, I think if someone today wanted to be sarcastic to me and say, you know, Father Phil, you believe in afterlife? Yeah, like you're going to fit all the people of all time in one place? Yeah, right. And you say, you know, afterlife is all wonderful and good and it's like a banquet. Who does the dishes? If it's all so good? Who cooked the food if it's all so good? And so somebody who doesn't believe in the afterlife would come up with a different list of questions to say, you people who believe in afterlife are just ridiculous. Now, as you know, periodically I have these Ask Father Phil Anything nights. And this one gentleman asked me a question that I had never pondered, nor been asked before. And he said, in all seriousness, what do you do in heaven? Did you ever think about that? I never thought about that. It was kind of a bizarre question. What do you do in heaven? He asked me again a couple of weeks ago in the email, Father Phil, you never answered my question. It's like, because I don't know. It just, I don't really care. I don't know. I mean, I don't really think about what do you do in heaven. But what I began to understand is, you see, we get stuck in fifth grade. I know in fifth grade we were taught Adam and Eve were real people. I know in fifth grade we were taught that Santa Claus lives on the North Pole. I know we were taught a whole bunch of stuff. We know where babies come from, right? Mommy, where do babies come from? The stork. Do they still have the stork? Any kids here today? I don't know. We had the stork bringing babies. Did you learn the stork brought babies or no? Yeah, see? You know better, I know. You went to Lourdes for a few years there. Okay, good, so you know better. But anyway, so we know that. But again, so when we ask, you know, what happens when you die, we learned you go to heaven, right? And then we say, well, what's heaven? So if I say to you, what's heaven? most of us, well, I'll speak for myself, you know, it's food that no one has to cook and we don't have to wash plates. Now, what's heaven? And so when we ask ourselves that question, what is heaven? I think we all go back to a very childish or childlike notion or belief system. I know my sister, the one from Pennsylvania, she's down visiting, and she said Thursday night, we had a family thing, don't even go there. We had a family thing, and she's, don't even go there. Figurines, oh my goodness gracious me. Okay, and so, you know, who gets what figurine? Oh, you, Woosa. Woosa, okay. So anyway, she said she went to the cemetery to see Dad, who's buried next to Mom, and she said, I know he's happy now because he's with Mom. And that's true. And we can have a fifth grade understanding of what that means. And we talk about heaven and what that means. We don't have a clue what that means. And so every year, at some point in the year, I read us what the catechism says. Not that you remember, not that you even believe what it says, because you still like fifth grade thinking, but I will read it again, and maybe in time it'll sink in, or you will think in an adult way about heaven. That's why, hence the glasses. This is the catechism. This is not Father Phil book. This is the catechism of the Catholic Church, just so you know, don't make it up. Okay, it says, heaven, those who die in God's grace and friendship and are perfectly purified live forever with Christ. We get that. In heaven. They are like God forever, for they see him as he is face to face. They're like God? What the heck does that mean? They are like God. Interesting concept. Now, this is the clincher. This perfect life with the most holy Trinity, this communion of life and love with the Trinity, with Virgin Mary, the angels, and all the blessed, see, the blessed, is called heaven. This communion is called heaven. This communion of life is called heaven. That doesn't sound like pizza. Or better yet, Hampton's fried chicken. No, it doesn't sound like that. It says this communion of life is called heaven. Heaven is the ultimate end and fulfillment of the deepest human longings, the state of supreme, definitive happiness. Heaven is the state, not like Florida and Georgia, the state of definitive happiness. It's a state of being. That doesn't sound like Hampton's fried chicken either. Sounds like Nirvana. Yeah. Who knew? Okay. To live in heaven, this communion with the Trinity, to live in heaven is to be with Christ. The elect live in Christ, but they retain, or rather find, their true identity, their own name. So it is communion with God, but you find, I guess you lost it, but you find your own identity, your true identity, and your own name. So you do have your own being, but you're in communion with God and one with God and like God, and yet you retain your own identity and name. Okay. By his death and resurrection, Jesus Christ has opened heaven to us. The life of the blessed consists in the full and perfect possession of the fruits of the redemption accomplished by Christ. He makes partners in his heavenly glorification those who have believed in him and remained faithful to his will. Heaven is, okay, what is heaven? Heaven is the blessed community of all who are perfectly incorporated into Christ. So heaven is community. Church is not a building. Church is a community. As we live in community on earth, we live in community with the Trinity. Now, this mystery, because it is, the nuns weren't wrong, this mystery of blessed communion with God and all who are in Christ is beyond all understanding and description. So whatever you think heaven is, you're wrong. Because it is beyond all description and all understanding. So if you think you're going to understand it any better now, you're not, because it's beyond our understanding. And so when things are beyond our understanding, we use metaphors, we use symbols, we use language that kind of helps us to at least somewhat embrace. But heaven is not what I thought it was when I knew what heaven was when I was 5. Okay? So I think sometimes we get stuck, and the question of the Sadducees kind of makes sense. Well, when you die, which one's going to be her husband if she was married 7 times before? So all of you who were married before, you got to deal with that. Okay, just saying. Okay, and your new wife isn't going to like that idea. And so it says that we have no idea what this is. Now, the next question that Catholics still don't get, and they always ask me about, is purgatory. Right? They always ask me about, Father, do we believe in purgatory? I'm like, do you? I don't know what you believe. I can't get inside your head. Do we believe in purgatory? What is purgatory? Now, us old Catholics, we were like, you know, those poor souls, they're like tortured in purgatory. Remember? We had to like help them out of purgatory. We, you know, we remember. It's a place before you get to heaven, okay? And it's got room for everybody. We a lot of us going there. Just saying. So we all are going to think different things. I'm not thinking we all have like one mind here. But what the catechism says is this. All who die in God's grace and friendship, but still imperfectly purified, are indeed assured of their eternal salvation. Yes. Counting on that. But after death, they undergo purification so as to achieve the holiness necessary to enter the joy of heaven. And so what I usually say, you know, when people die on the table and they see the tunnel, they're in the tunnel and they see the light at the end of the tunnel, well, it's the tunnel. Not really, because it's beyond our understanding, but it's the tunnel before you get to the light. Okay? And as we go through the tunnel before we get to the light, we get purified. What does that mean? No idea. Okay. The church gives the name purgatory to this final purification of the elect, which is entirely different from those who are damned. Okay? And so basically it says, purgatory is this final purification process. So we need to get rid of this idea that it's like a place, but it's rather the purification process that's necessary to join with God, who is perfect. In other words, if you got dirty clothes on, you're not going to be able to connect to pure cleanliness, because then you would make it dirty, right? So if you're going to connect with God, who's all clean, for lack of a better image, and you got dirty clothes on, we got to wash your clothes, because otherwise you'll make God dirty. That's called purgatory. Hey, I just invented theology. Okay, you got it now? Good. Okay, so so now we have a sense of what heaven is and what purgatory is. It's that process of getting yourself ready to enter into perfection. What that looks like, it is beyond our understanding. What's it all about? It's beyond our understanding. It is like the nuns told us, it's a mystery. We didn't like that. It's a mystery. But it's a mystery. And so I think sometimes we don't like mystery. We want to define it and cut it down. But the reality is, you can't. Today's gospel, we have the mounting tension between Jesus and his contemporaries, and we hear this whole talk of afterlife and what it's like, and we hear St. Luke tell his community that, yeah, we believe that this life is not all there is. We believe that this life continues into the next life, and we believe that it's not like this life, but it's connected to this life. And so he basically reminds his community, and it's important because we're now in Jerusalem. Jesus is going to suffer, he's going to die, and he's going to rise. And it's important for us to understand what it means to be resurrected, what it means to enter into this new way of being. Because it's not like the walking dead, right? How do you become a walking dead? You get bitten, okay? So it's not like you get bitten and become part of the walking dead and you're a dead body that comes back to life. That's like walking dead, right? It's like vampires. I don't like the show, but it's like, so you're like dead and you come back to life and you just continue to, well, that's not what resurrection is. It's not the walking dead, but rather it is a continuation, yet a new way of being where we become one with God. On Wednesday, All Souls Day, I shared that in a sense, we believe that obviously heaven is not somewhere out there. There's a song, somewhere out there. Anyway, it's not way out there, but that God is everywhere. And if God is everywhere and heaven is not there, but heaven is here because God is here, and if like my mom and dad are together with God and have this new way of being with God, and God is everywhere, then they are here. And that's kind of our understanding of saints. It's our understanding of souls. It's our understanding of that connection. But we tend to think God is somewhere out there, you know, beyond the universe watching us. No, God is here. God is with us. And when we die, we become one with God. Amen.